This portion of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show is brought to you by relationship expert Dr. Maureen Hosier.
And now, stay tuned for the most exciting, new, sexy radio show on the planet. The Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and I've got a fun show for you today because we're talking about what the United States Supreme Court did last week to make your life here in California a whole lot more fun. Now, I realize that the United States Supreme Court rarely does anything to make your life more fun. However, this is an exception, and the reason is pretty simple. And that is because last week, the United States Supreme Court overturned a draconian law that prevented you and me from legally betting or gambling on sports, unless, of course, you live in Nevada. Because let's face it, if you live in Nevada, you can pretty much do whatever you want as long as you have enough money. That's why I love Las Vegas. Now, before I dive into the ramifications of what the Supreme Court decision means for you, I want you to know something about me. You see, I love to gamble. In fact, I've been going to Vegas since I was 17 years old. So I obviously have a lot of unbelievable stories that I can never ever share with you or anyone else for that matter, because what goes on in Vegas, it's gotta stay there, right? Now, my current favorite game of choice is Texas Hold'em, which I love to play, especially if I'm playing with my mom. However, back in the day, I gotta tell you, I loved playing blackjack and roulette and even craps for days on end. Listen, I would smoke cigars, drink lots of vodka tonics, and eat pancakes in the middle of the night somewhere, like many of you. But the thing you need to know about me is that I've never been a big sports betting kind of person. Of course, I'll spend $20 whenever I attend a Super Bowl party to play whatever betting games they're playing. You know what I'm talking about. You go to a party, you buy some squares, and you hope the score of the game lands on whatever numbers you've been given in your square. However, I've never been someone who likes to bet on sports. Until now. And that's because in a matter of weeks or months, you and I are going to be able to bet on sports without having to fly to Las Vegas. And that's all thanks to the United States Supreme Court, who, with a stroke of a pen, overturned a federal law that outlawed betting and is going to change your life forever. So what this obviously means is that California is going to legalize sports betting, which in my opinion, it is going to be so much fun, or at least that's what gambling is supposed to be, right? It's supposed to be fun. But let me tell you something, losing money is not fun. That's why I want to talk with you about the pros and the cons of legalizing sports betting in our great state. First of all, the sports betting industry is a whopping $150 billion industry. So in my opinion, California, you just won the lottery. After all, California, like all other states, is going to tax you and me to death for the privilege of sports betting in our great state. In fact, I believe that California is probably going to levy a special gambling tax on your winnings, and it's going to be somewhere in the range of 20 to 35%, and that is, again, for the privilege of being able to legally bet on sports. And if you lose, which, let's face it, the vast majority of you will lose. After all, how do you think Vegas was built? My guess is that it's going to cost you even more money, or maybe an extra 10 to 15% for losing. So either way, you're going to be paying more money, and that's awful. Plus, we know that California is going to tax the casino, or the card room, or the racetrack, or wherever you go to gamble, and my bet is they are going to see a 10 to 25% tax levied on whatever money they collect. So what this means, the bottom line is, California is probably going to gross anywhere between $10 to $20 billion a year on legal sports betting. So this is going to be great for our economy and our state. After all, just look at all of the new jobs that is going to be created because of all the new card rooms and sports betting lounges and addiction rehab centers that are going to pop up everywhere in our great state. In fact, I'm going on the record right now to tell you that you and your family, you're even going to be able to place bets when you go to a football game right there in the football stadium, or when you go to a baseball game right in the baseball stadium, or a hockey arena. And you know what else? You're going to be able to walk into 7-Eleven and place bets too. You want to know why? Because California wants to make it easy for you to become addicted to sports betting. Otherwise, how in the world are they going to solve our homelessness problem and help those who are in desperate need of this revenue? All right, so now what I want to do is I want you and I to focus on the cons. What's bad about legalizing sports betting in our great state? Well, first of all, my biggest concern is that many of you and your kids are going to become addicted gamblers. And you know what you're going to lose? You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose money. You're going to lose your retirement. You're going to lose your savings. And you're going to lose your wife. Because right now, you and I know that tens of millions of people all over our great state and country are addicted to gambling, and it's only going to get worse. So I believe we're going to see more divorce, more dysfunction, and more need for state services, right? Like gambling programs to help the addicted. I also believe that we're going to see the NBA, the NFL, and the MLB. You see, they're going to get greedy. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to charge you a 1% to 2% fee for the privilege of betting on their teams. Yeah, I believe these billionaire greedy owners are going to want their piece of the pie, so you're going to be paying another percentage to them. But you know what, guys? I need to tell you what my biggest concerns about legalizing sports betting is. You ready? First of all, I believe that we are going to see more violence directed at professional athletes and referees and women and umpires. I also believe that the integrity of the game is going to be affected. Now, can you imagine for a moment how angry gamblers are going to get if an athlete drops the ball, right? Or they commit an error that caused you to lose your big bet? Or what if a quarterback throws an interception at the end of the game that caused you to lose your big bet? Or what if a baseball player strikes out with the bases loaded and you lost your big bet? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get angry. Gamblers are going to be raging sports fans who are angry, you know, and that scares me. Because you're going to be mad that your team lost. You're going to become violent and angry at these professional players because they made an error that caused you to lose money. Now, what about the referees, right? What about the umpires? Don't you think these referees and these umpires are going to be yelled at and under so much pressure to make the right calls? Or they're going to face the wrath of an angry gambler who waits outside of their hotel? Think about it. If you lost thousands of dollars and you think a referee was to blame, are you going to get angry and do something? Let me tell you something. Gambling addicts are known to fly into rages, right? And harm others. And that is why I'm concerned for players. I'm concerned for coaches. I'm concerned for refs. And I'm concerned for women. Because let me tell you something about women. I'm concerned about women because I'm going to tell you something about men who gamble. When men gamble and they lose money, they beat women. And so why do you think during the Super Bowl there's more violence towards women? My point here is I'm concerned that women are going to be beat more often because their addicted boyfriends or husbands or lovers lost money. Now listen. Since I am a true sports enthusiast, I'm going to tell you what also concerns me. I am so concerned that legalized sports betting is going to cause athletes to cheat and figure out ways to fix games and throw games. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Come on, Ronnie. Gambling is already legal in Nevada, and we don't see this happening. That's my point. You see, once we make betting on sports legal in every state, all of these players are going to be under more pressure. Their families, their friends, they're all going to gamble. And when they lose money, these athletes are going to feel so much pressure. And guess what? Money won is sometimes better than money earned. Just ask Molly Bloom, which, by the way, that movie was amazing. So the bottom line is this. I love to gamble. I'm glad we're bringing sports gambling into California, but I need you to exercise some sense of discretion and moderation because gambling is highly addictive and it can ruin your life. All right, everybody, as you can see, I'm fired up this morning because we're talking about you, right? We're going to talk about you, your health, your money, and we're going to talk a little bit about that plane that disappeared in the Indian Ocean way back in March 2014. All that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
We'll be back with more of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show right after this.
This portion of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show is brought to you by board-certified plastic surgeon, Dr. David Sadat.
Hey, surf is definitely up on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and I've got a big smile on my face because the surf is up with Dr. David Sadat, who is a triple board certified doctor. We're talking plastic surgery. We're talking ear, nose, and throat and sleeping disorders. Dr. Sadat, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ronnie.
So good to hear your voice. Dr. Sadat, right now in California, we are suffering the worst type of allergies. I've got friends and family who can't breathe. They can't sleep. Their noses are screwed up. How do you help your patients and clients breathe better and deal with the misery of allergies?
Well, I tell them to move out of California.
Love that.
That would be the simple answer. But, you know, unfortunately, that it's not just California. It's the question is, why do we all have so many allergies now? And that's a very tough question. But you're right. It's an endemic problem. Allergies are very popular and common. They're usually environmental, meaning it's breathing, respiratory allergy, meaning you breathe something, and obviously when you breathe through your nose, and the nose is the most affected thing by allergy. But I'm sure you know, and people that are listening know that if you have allergies, it's not just your nose. It's itchiness, it's your skin, your lungs, your eyes, your ears, your throat is uncomfortable, the feeling of congestion, headache, tiredness, as you said, lack of sleep because you can't really sleep well. So it just affects the entire human being functionally, mentally, physically, and medically. So the way we help them is, one, we diagnose them to see if they really have allergies or not, because oftentimes people think they have allergies, but it's something else. So it requires a good history taking from the patient, a good physical examination, and a few tests that we do, one being an allergy testing. Occasionally we do CAT scan of the sinuses and the nose and the inside of the nose to just see if there's anything else besides allergies causing it. So it's hard to explain on the radio that easy. So if anyone out there listening and has these symptoms and want to be a good, thorough evaluation, give me a call. My number is 310-247-9090, or go to my website, drdavidsadat.com. and I'll be happy to see you and do a good evaluation. But basically, for the most important thing is a very good evaluation and deciding what is causing all these symptoms.
Yeah, and what's really interesting, Dr. Sadat, is you and I have spoken about your clients wanting to get nose jobs. And I wonder if these clients come to your office first and foremost because they can't breathe, or do you find that you do the majority of your nose jobs based on your clients and patients? Maybe they just don't like the look of their nose.
Well, and both, and then some more. My specialty, my specialty, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, is ear, nose, and throat surgery, facial plastic surgery, and sleep medicine. And people who have difficulty breathing, they have typically have all three problems. They can't sleep. They have a hard time breathing. So if they have a deviated septum or some sort of sinus problem or polyps or allergies, and then oftentimes when they require surgery, it's not very uncommon that they would come and say, you know what, while I'm there, can you make it look better? So get a rhinoplasty. Or alternatively, I have clients that come for a cosmetic rhinoplasty and they say, you know what, also I'm suffering from breathing problem, I have allergies, I can't sleep at nighttime. So it's commonly done altogether if they wish to have it done that way. So if you're listening out there and you have all these problems or some of these problems or a few of the problems, come and see me. My number is 310-247-9090, or go to my website, www.drdavidsadat.com, and come for an evaluation. We can talk about it and see how we can help you.
Now, Dr. Sadat, I want to elaborate on something that has to do with sleeping. You help people with sleeping disorders. Can you explain the difference between someone who just happens to snore really loud versus someone who has a serious condition like sleep apnea?
Absolutely. Majority of people snore. Some snore really loud. And then a percentage of the people that snore really loud, they actually stop breathing. So when you stop breathing, and by definition, this is defined, it's a known fact. By definition, if you stop breathing for more than 10 seconds, and we can document that on a sleep study, that's called sleep apnea. There are a lot of people that snore really loud, but they don't stop breathing, and therefore they don't have sleep apnea.
And Dr. Sadat, a lot of these people who are suffering with sleep apnea, why would they choose to wear a Star Wars Darth Vader mask to sleep rather than see you and go through a very easy procedure to get it fixed?
Well, for starters, you're right, that mask is horrendous, but it works. If they wear that mask on a regular basis and they can tolerate it, it works. There's two problems. One is majority of people cannot tolerate it. It's very, very difficult to tolerate. It doesn't look good. It doesn't feel good. It's a weird thing to do, and you have to do it every night. And the second problem is most people, including the doctors and physicians that actually deal with sleep apnea, they don't realize that there are other alternatives to cure sleep apnea without using that CPAP machine. So one of the things that we're trying to do is to educate people that, listen, if you can tolerate that CPAP machine, we do have alternatives that are actually curative of sleep apnea, and you don't have to deal with it again. So if any of you guys have, as you mentioned, Ronnie, sleep apnea or all those other things that we talked about, or snoring, we can also cure snoring. If you have any of those problems, call my office, 310-247-9090, or go to my website, www.drdavidsadat.com. Come in. I can help you. We can make it better for you.
Dr. Sadat, the last question that I want to ask you, it's really personal, because I believe there are some things that you have got to know before you hire a plastic surgeon. What do you think is important? What do patients need to know before they see you? Because you are a specialist, you are board certified. So can you brag a little bit about yourself and let them know who you are, what you do, because you provide medical excellence?
Well, you're right, and it is very personal. Having somebody examine you, operate on you, you see them for a while before surgery, during surgery, after surgery, at the most vulnerable time that you're going through the procedure and the recovery. So you gotta know your plastic surgeon. You got to like them. It's a relationship. It's, of course, it's a medical relationship, but it's still a relationship. So it's good to know. I always try to tell my patients who I am, where I came from, give them a little bit of a history and background. For example, you mentioned at the beginning of the show, I have 3 board certification in ENT, plastic surgery, and sleep medicine. I'm passionate about what I do, and the reason I became a nerd and went after those things because I just wanted to learn more. And, you know, learning more means that I can help my patients more. I take it very serious. I want good results. I want to make sure my patients are happy, satisfied, and have good outcome. And if any failure in that whole process, I feel like it's my own failure. And trust me, I don't want to fail. So the goal is to make everybody as best as possible with the best outcome, whether it's cosmetic, medical, or a combination of the two. Please come and see me, 310-247-9090, or go to my website, www.drdavidsadat.com.
And I want to add something for all of you that are listening. You have got to check out Dr. Sadat's website. He has some amazing testimonials and pictures. I adore you, Dr. Sadat. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Ronnie.
All right, everybody. I've got a great show for you today because I'm bringing in Renee Nielsen. And Renee Nielsen is my favorite real estate expert in the United States of America. All that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
You're listening to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. We'll be back with more right after this.
The following segment is brought to you by Renee Nielsen, the real estate expert for the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
And now, back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello, and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and I'm excited right now because I have my favorite real estate expert in America in studio with me this morning. Good morning, Renee Nielsen.
Good morning, Ronnie Deutsch.
So, Renee, what I love to do in our interviews is start it off with a market update. Can you provide us with what is going on in San Diego as it relates to the real estate market?
Ronnie, I would love to tell you what's going on. In fact, this last year, home prices have gone up 6.8%. So that means that the median priced home in San Diego is $550,000. So just to give you kind of a picture of where that is in comparison to other places in California, the median priced home in California in general is just a little bit higher at $564,000. But our lowest priced median priced home is in Lassen. So I don't know if you guys all know where Mount Lassen is. Mount Lassen is a couple hours north of Sacramento. So if you want to be a forest ranger, live by a lake, go fishing, there's a beautiful place to stay up there and be one with nature, then that's where you need to live to have a house at $135,000 median home price.
Versus being by the beach in San Diego.
Exactly. Hey, but you know what? The good news is this. The highest price point, median price point, is in San Francisco at $1,680,000. So be thankful that you are where you're at here.
And so, Renee, you brought up a great point that the real estate market is up 6%, which is wonderful because if the average
6.8%.
Excuse me, 6.8%. So we're looking at a 30 to 40,000 profit range that you are making year end, which is unbelievable. How do you believe this market will change, Renee, throughout the second and third quarter of 2018?
Ronnie, right now we are in a housing crisis. So if there's a shortage of homes, you just need to deal with what's right here, right now. That's what we know. The market always changes. So you need to get pre-qualified right now. You need to see what monthly payment makes the most sense for you. right now and see what those, you know, when we go shopping for homes, what that monthly payment affords you, and get into that house that you're comfortable with, because that's what really matters.
See, that's what I love, Renee, is you're guiding and directing your clients. So can you talk about that initial consultation that you have with your clients? Someone's going to call you, Renee, I want you to list my home. Renee, I want you to help me with my real estate project. What do you do, Renee, to make sure it's a good fit?
The biggest thing is I want to talk about what your goals are and what your family's needs are and where you're going to see yourself in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. So that way we can really plan for what makes the most sense. To consult with me, please call me at 833-697-3832 or go to ReneeNielsen.com. I'd be happy to talk with you. I also have the most amazing lending team. We want to get you qualified and we want to make you competitive. It's a competitive market, so we want to make you competitive. That's the main thing.
And so, Renee, listen, when you talk about that competition, how do you help your clients get to the front of the list? Because I see how you operate. You are a badass. How do you help your clients live that American dream, Renee?
Oh, thank you, Ronnie, for the compliment. You know what? I do pride myself in making sure my clients are prepared. So again, the process just starts with participating, getting all your documents together. We're going to get them to the lender that's on my team. We're going to do every single thing to stack everything in your favor. We're going to write a competitive offer. The main thing is to, besides your goals, is just to make sure that we're setting the expectations the right way. We're looking at what the homes are that you're interested in. We're looking to see how much they've sold over or at price. We want to look at that and then know, okay, well, if these homes are selling over list price by 5% or whatever the case may be, we don't want, for this most beautiful home that you have your heart set on, I'm not going to let you believe that writing an offer 10% less than list price just to try to get a deal, you're not going to get the deal. You're not going to get the home. So what we want to do is just make sure that we understand that particular home once we've identified it. To go shopping with me for homes, please call me at 833-697-3832. That's 833-697-3832. And we'll talk more about how we can make you super competitive.
Okay, Renee, you and I know we're in 2018, which means it's an election year. What type of issues do you need to be aware of as a homeowner this coming election?
Well, that's a really good point, Ronnie, about this being an election year. So I just want to remind everybody out there that how you vote is really important and how you support your legislators is super important as well. So the California Energy Commission just passed or has proposed that solar on the year 2020 be on all multifamily units, new homes, and major renovations that are three stories or less. So for major renovations, I don't know where the cutoff line for that is, Ronnie. I don't know how much money you have to spend or how much square footage has to be added. I'm not sure. But the bigger picture is that there's going to be more cost involved, and it's going to potentially take more time to build. So that's great. We love being green in California. We want to keep California really, really pretty and amazing and a great place to live. But just know every single time you add something that has to be done to the house before it closes, it costs more money and it takes more time. So that just means that the consumer at the end of the day pays.
Yeah. And Renee, what concerns me about that is simple. If we start with your roof, where does it stop? You need to get a new fence. You need to get a new yard. We need to get you a new door. My concern, Renee, is that we become overreaching, especially when our new governor is elected. What are your thoughts on that?
Ronnie, you guys, there are bills proposed all the time that the California Association of Realtors goes in and tries to help educate people on, because there's lots of bills that come up every single year. For example, like they want to have you get rid of your wood-burning stove before you sell your home. Well, all of this costs money. I can pretty much guarantee you that the new buyer comes in 9 times out of 10, it's not very hip, first of all, to have a wood-burning stove anymore, so I can guarantee that they're probably going to get rid of it and put something like a gas fireplace in or something that looks more to their taste that does the same thing. So, but by asking people to do things before you finalize the sale, it means more money. So if you would like to be advised on how to write an amazing offer and get exactly what you want and be aware of all the different things regarding home, my number is 833-697-3832. That's 833-697-3832. 3832 or go to ReneeNielsen.com.
Hey, Renee, I bet those wood-burning stoves are popular in Lassen.
They probably are.
Okay, Renee, I now want to talk about remodeling projects. You've got a lot of projects that you are working on, and you help your clients remodel their houses so that they love living there or they get top dollar. What are some of the most common remodeling projects that you're seeing today?
Well, Ronnie, what is really interesting is 81% of the remodels include a bathroom remodel. So it used to be that people would love kitchens the most and those kinds of things, but the bathroom remodel, is number one this year, so that's interesting. And there's some pretty cool things that you can do to your bathroom. The biggest thing is you want to be current with the times to increase the value. The other things like the flooring, the heated flooring, and all kinds of cool little gadgety things that you can do, just know that it makes it a little bit hipper to be in your bathroom and greater for you, and you should enjoy those things, but it won't necessarily increase the value as much as the money that you're putting in.
Renee, as you know, many homeowners want to remodel their home, but they don't know who to call or who to trust. How do you help your clients with this issue?
Ronnie, I have to tell you that doing a remodeling project can be the most stressful. There's so many unknown things that I'm going to just make one recommendation. I have solutions. I would rather you call me. We'll do a consultation. We'll talk about your project, and I will put together with you the right person, and I will help you get your project on track. My number is 833-697-3832. That's 833-697-3832. Or you can go to ReneeNielsen.com and I'll get you taken care of. That is one problem, major headache that you don't want to have to deal with.
Okay, Renee. I love our interviews and I love seeing you. All right, everybody. I've got a great closing segment because I'm talking about Malaysia Airlines. You remember that plane? It flew off into the Indian Ocean, and now the experts and investigators think they know what happened. I'm not so sure. All that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
You're listening to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. We'll be back with more right after this.
This portion of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show is brought to you by board-certified plastic surgeon, Dr. David Sadat.
And now back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. Here's Ronnie.
Hello, and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch. And in this segment, you know what we're going to talk about? We are going to talk about one of the greatest aviation mysteries over the past few years, and that is the disappearance of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 that vanished on March 8, 2014, with over 239 passengers on board, never to be seen again. And the reason why I want to talk about this today is because leading experts just concluded the cause of the crash. And you know what? I'm not buying it. I don't agree with them as far as what they're saying the cause of the crash is, because you know what? There's no black box and there's no plane. Apparently, what the experts are saying is that the captain of Flight 370 deliberately crashed the plane because he was on some crazy ass suicide mission, which you know what? I find really hard to believe, because you know what? This captain, he never showed one sign of being suicidal or suffering from any mental or emotional distress. I'm being serious right now. If you look at this guy's 30-year history and you look at all of the people that were interviewed about this captain, not one person called him suicidal. Not one person called him mentally unstable. Heck, you could call me mentally unstable and you can call my producer a sociopath, but I'm telling you, this captain had no issues. And that's why the reality is that we are never, ever going to know what happened until the black box or the plane is found. Now, as you recall, the Malaysia Airlines jet was on a routine flight from the capital of Malaysia, right? And they were supposed to land in Beijing on March 8th. And guess what? It disappeared. This plane has, like, vanished. And when I asked my mom, "Mom, what do you think happened?" You know what she said? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. The Twilight Zone. Did someone, like, take the plane? I don't think so, because we actually found a piece of the plane. You see, the plane ran out of fuel, right? You can't just fly without fuel. And it ultimately crashed somewhere in the Indian Ocean west of Australia. This is thousands of miles from where this plane was supposed to be. And we know this, again, because small amounts of debris was found from this plane. Apparently, it washed up on some really beautiful beaches. But the thing is, the biggest underwater search in the history of our country, it was called off last January in 2017 after 2 years and hundreds of millions of dollars of striking out. Here's my question for you, Malaysia Airlines. Aren't you going to continue this search? Don't you have an obligation to the families who were on that plane? Because the last time I checked, when you get on a plane, you should be able to track it, not allow the damn thing to zig and to zag and to get lost. Now, what we know about this captain is simple. The dude was 53 years old. And you know what? He was accompanied on the flight deck by some really inexperienced first officer, who, by the way, it was his very first and last flight on a 777. Now listen, obviously the captain's home and the co-pilot's home was searched within a couple of days after the plane disappeared. And guess what they found? Nothing. They didn't find a damn thing that said this captain was a suicidal whack job. They didn't find anything that said he was unstable or unfit to fly. However, what they did find was some flight simulation software that this captain played with, because he was a great captain. He simulated his flights and he practiced, or at least that's what the news said, until recently. Now, all of a sudden, they're saying the captain played with his software to prepare to divert an aircraft, which I find to be very convenient a couple years after the plane disappeared. In fact, do you know what investigators are saying? They actually believe that this captain put on his oxygen mask and then he depressurized the entire plane and cabin so everyone, including the co-pilot, would be rendered unconscious. Do you realize what this means? That this captain said to the co-pilot, "Oh, hey, listen, could you maybe step outside, use the restroom, go get me some coffee?" And while the dude was out there, he pressed some magic button, and now everybody fell asleep. You see, one of the questions that I've always had is why no one on this airplane ever used their cell phone to make a distress call. Now, as all of you have seen, if you're on a Southwest Airlines plane, you've got millennials, they're tapping into their cells, they're tapping into their computers, and they're filming everything that goes on in those planes, right? That woman who unfortunately died and perished as she was sucked halfway out of the airplane when the window broke, just like a co-pilot. It just happened the other day. My point is, why didn't anyone make a phone call and say something is not right? Okay, now I realize that cell towers don't work well above 5,000 feet. But listen, this plane did fly at 5,000 feet, which means somebody could have placed the call. Why didn't they? All right, listen, guys, I have flown on too many flights and I realize that it's dark. You don't even know if the plane is turning left or if the plane is turning right. So probably these passengers had no clue. But then again, I always found that to be suspicious. And what about terrorism? Because guess what? Do you realize that two of the passengers on this plane were flying on the plane under false names, false documents, false passports, which is unbelievable to me. How do you get two people on a plane after 9/11 if it's not their name? And how do we know that these two people never did it? Now, I realize that most experts dismiss the possibility that terrorism was involved for one reason, because no terrorist organization ever claimed responsibility or credit for the plane's disappearance, which I realize is something that these freaks like to do. Now, obviously, I know that we've seen other instances where pilots or co-pilots have been whacked out and have been on a suicide mission, like that crazy dude on German Wings Flight 9525 back in 2015. Now, I'm sure you remember what happened, right? That co-pilot waited for the pilot to leave the cockpit and he locked the door. And then he slowly descended the plane until it conveniently crashed in a mountain. But here's the thing. That dude was mentally ill. He went to a therapist. They documented it. And you could hear on the black box people screaming before that plane crashed. You hear the pilot banging on the door to be let in. So in that situation, it's obvious it was suicide. Now, the fact that really bothers me about this Malaysia plane is that, you know, the airspace controllers that make a ton of money, not one of them from multiple countries ever did a thing when this plane was zigging and zagging on its death course. How is that possible? Are you telling me right now that we could look in the sky and we can see a 777 plane just flying aimlessly? Are you kidding me? If that happened in America, I would pray to God that we would shoot that plane down. So I come back and I say, we don't know what happened. And I just don't like the fact that you investigators are calling this thing a suicide when we don't have any evidence that he was depressed. Now, of course, you can make an argument, Ronnie. The dude was going through a divorce, okay? But listen, his ex-wife was interviewed. You know what she said? He wasn't crazy. He wasn't suicidal. He wasn't violent, and he didn't want to die. He was one of the best pilots that Malaysia Airlines has ever had. So the bottom line is, and the reason why I am bringing up this story, is because I understand mental illness. But guess what? How are we supposed to help someone who's mentally ill if they show no signs of mental illness? That is why I come back to you. Moms and dads, I want you to talk to your kids more. I want you to check in with them as much as you can, because your kids may act normal, right? They may seem normal, but they're not. And the same can be said for you, for your husband. I am begging you, talk to the people you love. Check in with them, because you know what? You don't want anything bad to happen to your kids or your families, and I just want you to help. All right, everybody, I thank you for your time. I hope you enjoyed the show. I urge you to like us at Ronnie Deutsch Radio, and I urge you to check out our beautiful website, ronniedeutschradio.com, so you can meet with our experts and hear all of our previous shows. Hope you have a great week from the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.